Are you cooled down now or what?
So you're aware that somebody 10 years ago could have had an email address and that they change it, they notify you, mm-hmm. and then you change the email that you send all of your emails to, and then you suddenly decide to give this other individual an important update to their 10-year-old email address.
Is this the short version?
Yeah. And then you're furthermore confused when they don't respond to you.
No, I'm not confused. I got online at the exact time I said.
Right.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
In fact, I got to go take 5 minutes.
Were you surprised when I didn't respond to the email?
No.
Is that like me to not respond? You. No, it's not like me.
Yeah.
You should have known the jig was up that you sent your email to my 10-year-old account.
All right.
I feel better.
Oh, you feel vindicated now?
Yeah.
That felt like mommy and daddy were fighting. P.S. I'm daddy.
Yeah, you wish.
Hello and welcome to episode 288 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
Is it 288, Adam?
289?
Should we check? Or just plow through like we know what we're talking about?
I'm going to say plow through. 288. Yeah. It's 288. Yeah,
it's 288. I'm right on the nose. Yeah, 288. What's going on, Adam?
Packing up.
Okay, moving out.
Packing up. I'm simultaneously podcasting and packing my bags. No, just packing up for a weekend away.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Where we went was the friend's cabin on the lake.
On the lake. How much? That's about as Canadian as you get.
Yeah. I think it's an American thing too, though, eh?
Not when you say A at the end, it's not.
Going to the lake? Yeah, probably not with the A.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, that's it. I'll tell you how it went, but I haven't gone yet.
You're bringing your camera to the lake?
I'm going to bring my beater.
The 5D, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And will she bring your camera?
Yes. Okay. I got it. I was a little slow on the uptake.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of offensive, so.
Yeah. No, I know. Is that unclear?
Yes, but I will bring the camera and I'll hopefully get some good sort of snapshots of just what we're doing.
Great.
Yeah. How about you?
Nothing.
No. Not doing anything? You're not packing while you podcast?
No, we're going to the lake as well.
Really?
No. No, we're not. What are we doing? No, I get we're going on vacation some other time.
Okay.
So not this weekend. I don't know what I'm doing. It's nice weather, I know that.
Yeah.
Went to the pool. We'll go to the pool today for the 4th day out of 5 days, I'll tell you that much.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's exciting. Now I'm just begging for something. I'm boring. I'm boring in life and I'm boring on the show.
Okay.
So, take it away, Adam.
I bought a frying pan.
Did you buy the frying pan? Amazon.
Yeah, I did. I bought the frying pan. I got it yesterday or the day before. Okay. No, yesterday. Yeah, I like it. It's good.
It's only going to get better.
Super heavy, like I said. But
it is heavy.
It is awesome, though, yeah.
My wife doesn't... She likes the frying pan, does not like the weight to it, the heft, until she's angry at me and swings it, and then...
Yeah, see? that could put a dent in you for sure.
I can be offensive to me too.
Okay.
Just to let you know, okay. the frying pan right now is good. In 6 months, it'll be better. It'll be awesome.
Right, because it kind of like it needs some wear on it, right?
Yeah, they say they come pre-seasoned, but you really need to build that up.
Yeah, and that's just with use, like just by putting oil in the pan.
Yep. Just by cooking stuff and making sure you don't scrub it all out. So, right. There you go. Awesome. And you, of course, bought that on Amazon.
I did. Yeah.
If you buy things on Amazon, you can help us out by clicking through our site. Because same Amazon experience for you, and we get a little bit of it, and it helps us keep the show running. So please do it. And people are doing it.
Great.
Were you one of those people?
I don't know. My wife did it, so. So I hope so.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I usually tell her, too. I say she's 50-50 on that whole deal.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you shoot anything interesting this week?
I took one photo since we talked last, other than photo challenge related stuff, but I took a photo, I posted on Facebook, a family Canada Day photo.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked about, like, we had a group of people over and I sort of took a group picture, and I think my wife posted it. I don't believe I posted on the Two Hosers about, you know, where one of the kids in the group kind of put her hands over her face, and another one of the other kids closed their eyes intentionally. But I did manage to take a family, just my family with my in-laws, in the park on a midday family portrait looking for open shade. I did not bring any flash, just camera on tripod, run-in photo. And I was really happy with how it turned out, considering it was midday. And we basically just had to find a shady spot, found a spot near a fence. Tried to look for a background that would be more or less evenly exposed and not blown out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just did the run in two attempts, and that's it. Done.
I really appreciate the looking for the open shade versus packing a whole bunch of lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's always that's been my move. Like, all right, well, I could pack three bags and see a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
Or we just shoot over there by that tree, by that fence over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a move. Yeah,
love that move.
Yeah, and again, sometimes you get better results that way. Not forget just the hassle part. Sometimes it's a better photo.
Yeah,
because again, it's natural light over, you know, unnatural light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in certain situations like this, like, it's fine. You're outside. You're in front of trees. Like, that's what life is, right? So I was super, super happy with the just how the picture turned out, considering there was absolutely nothing to it. So if nobody's seen it, you know, check it out on Facebook. It's one of the better family group portraits where everybody's kind of looking good. Like, you don't mm-hmm. often get eight people and everybody kind of showing their best. So yeah, so that part of it I liked.
And you took one?
Two. So two tries at it. So
two tries.
Yeah. So I changed the configuration a little bit of the people. It wasn't so much about light or faces or exposure. It was mostly of just, yeah, let's try mixing the people around in different spots. And then I liked it this way better.
Got it. And, yeah. And but the important takeaway here to me is two shots at it.
That's right. No, yeah. That was what I said going in. I said, I'm going to do two shots. And then we're going to walk away regardless, and I hope one of them is good. And that's all there was to it.
And they usually are. It's funny I bring that up, because yesterday my wife said to me, "You take way fewer photos than you used to."
Yeah.
And she meant in that situation of you know, like, just even with portraits or whatever, she said, you used to snap, you know, 5 or 10. Now you snap one and just stop.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, no, I'm trying hard to be better at it right away.
And also, you know, you do your part. If someone doesn't smile or whatever, that's fine. I'm still done. I'm not.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It doesn't have to be perfect, right?
No, and that ties in with my my refusal to let people see the LCD screen is twofold there. But one, I'm like, you know, of course I want you to live in the moment, so just ignore me. But also, they look at it and if they don't like it, they want to do it again. And I say, well, no, just look good next time. A, you actually look like that.
Yeah.
So that's on you. I mean, do you own a mirror? Come on now. However, if you don't want to look like that, next time I take a picture, don't look like that. That's how it goes.
That's a good lesson.
Yeah. It's people don't like learning that one.
Right.
However, here I am, not taking multiple pictures. Yeah. This week I tried to replicate a picture of James Bond in under 30 seconds.
Okay. This is a selfie?
Oh, yeah, of course. No. We have a new player from on our team for the home stretch. He's from a little place called the UK.
Mm-hmm.
If that still exists, I don't know. He's from England. Young kid. And so we needed a cover for the program for this week's home game. And so I said, that's it, kid. You're James Bond. And so that was it. It was a really last minute thing. I needed, like, the deadline was in, like, you know, half an hour to get it to print. So I said he was downstairs. He put on my suit, which was a little bit big for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he used a few clamps at the back just to kind of tighten it up a little bit as best we could, and tried to mimic a shot of Daniel Craig. Like a simple one. I was thinking we're going to make a Bond poster, but I didn't have time to do the elaborate, like, 1970s, or, you know, pick one from there. Thunderball.
Okay.
That might be 1968, though.
Okay.
So I don't know. Pick one from the 70s. I can't think of one. Anyway, so
I know the 80s Bond movies, not the 70s.
Right. I kind of know the transition, but... okay, call it, you know, For Your Eyes Only. I didn't have time to mock up a For Your Eyes Only, and so I picked a more recent one that had, you know, that featured Daniel Craig, and just kind of swapped it out. And so I'll post that. I think I probably posted it on our. You probably don't follow my baseball team on Facebook, I'm guessing.
No, I don't.
So you haven't seen it yet? Okay.
Okay.
I'll fire that. I'll post that, and your reactions can come next week.
Okay.
They won't be any. Did that, and also shot a lot of sky photos. Just the sky. Just like, oh, every time there was a nice looking sky, I tried to threw the circular polarizer on, and ran out and just grabbed some black and white shots of the sky. Well, in color, but. But black and white. I wanted them for black and white because when I was at Goodwood last couple weeks ago, I shot a portrait of Corolla against the sky, and I wanted to have this nice, iconic photo of him in his racing suit with his helmet and with the car, but couldn't. So we went and shot him against the sky. I had about between 45 and 60 seconds to shoot him. And so I did. Got the flash out. And fired away. Photo looks nice. Like I like the photo. The sky was boring as heck.
Mm-hmm.
Just like really just that flat gray. There was nothing to it. Nothing dramatic. Like I couldn't even do anything to it. I tried, you know, throwing a little filter on it and just bring up the contrast, the clarity, whatever I could do to just try to add some drama to the sky. I couldn't do it. So ultimately I decided, like, you know, what I would have done is, had I had time, is reshot him. But didn't have it. It was all, on the last day. I legitimately had 60 seconds to shoot, and that was that. And so I resigned myself to, yeah, I'm going to cut him out in Photoshop, and I'm going to replace the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. And so it ended up looking a lot cooler. And you can see it on, you might have seen it on my Facebook. I don't know.
Not yet.
Okay. Well, once again, I don't have it in front of me, so you'll have to either check it on my Facebook in the next 6 seconds, or we'll just talk about it next week.
Okay. Next week.
Next week, yeah. Or not at all. Probably not at all, if that's the case.
Or you can post it on the Two Hosers.
I will post it on the Two Hosers.
Okay.
But not in the next 1 minute, though.
Okay. All right.
So your reaction will be canned, is what I'm saying.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yes, it's awesome. there you go.
Okay.
That's what I shot that was interesting that you have no clue about.
Okay.
So, all right, Vibrance. That was our the photo challenge from last week. Worst photo challenge ever.
Why?
I mean, awesome. I love it. So much so that I hope you have another good one at the end of the show today.
Another good idea?
Yeah.
This is one we've never done before.
Okay.
You don't like the challenge?
I love it. I love the challenge. Let's look
sounds,
at yours first.
Sounds sarcastic.
No. Let's look at yours. Okay, here's Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Yeah, I love that book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They made a book out of that movie?
It's one of my favorite all-time books.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good pull. Good pull by me, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This could be him.
You don't know. It could be.
Yeah, I went down to the beach, and I took this photo looking up at the sky with birds flying overhead. So I took a picture of a seagull down at Gary Point using the circular polarizer and the 5D Classic 85mm lens. Went at a good time of evening, so this was probably about, I don't know, 7:30, quarter to 8-ish in the evening. So nice kind of time of day for nice light and sun low in the sky and sort of, you know, goldenish light. And then basically just, yep, aimed it up at the sky with the circular polarizer. And as birds flew overhead, I just snapped a few photos. So probably spent 5 minutes. I probably took about 20 different bird photos. And I just liked this one. I liked the sky, the portion of the sky I caught it. And that was kind of what, like you say about the going out in the evening and anytime there was an interesting sky shooting photos. Well, this was a really interesting evening for sky. There were some very, very dark clouds in one part of the sky with sort of the sun would come in and out behind the clouds and you get really kind of dramatic looks. And at first I was going to take a picture of some kites because there were some vibrant color kites up in the sky. But I didn't have a long enough lens and the kites were way, way up in the sky. So they just, even cropping them, they just looked tiny. So I ended up going to a different area and then shooting the birds. And I chose this photo because I just love the sky. Like it, to me, it sort of says screensaver. Like that's kind of what this picture is to me. Yeah.
Okay.
And I didn't really do much to it. Like I basically saturated the blues a little bit, pulled up the vibrance a little bit, but because of the circular polarizer, you know, this is pretty close to out of camera.
That's one of the reasons I love the circular polarizer. And now, where was the sun in relation to you? Like, you're standing, the sun is camera...
Right.
So, at 90 degrees.
Yes.
That, the reason I ask, I actually knew the answer, that's where you get the best results by with the polarizer. In the sky?
With the polarizer, yeah.
Yeah, not into the sun, not away from the sun, but at 90 degrees is where you get... The best.
And in all honesty, I remember you saying that, and that's mostly what I was doing. And yeah, sometimes it's almost too dark, the blue.
Yeah.
Like this was kind of a nice happy medium to me. Some of them, it looks completely unnatural, like how dark the blue shows up.
Sure.
It didn't even look like, to me, it didn't even look real. So I almost was bringing... lightening the blues because I thought, like, no sky looks like that.
See, let's go have a look at my photo then and say, hey, is mine too blue?
Let's see. Yes, it is a little bit too blue.
I mean, that's the deep blue sky.
Yeah, this is the effect that I found quite a bit. But even there is an area of yours where it lightens behind, you know, Sam's back. Like, I was getting the top left of your image, the entire sky. Like, it was just so dark that it just, like, all right, you're doing something. You're cheating. This isn't right. But, yes, I find that there is a point where it's like, all right, I don't see that kind of dark and blue sky in real life.
No. And that's what I was, I mean, I was overdoing it for the purpose of our little show,
our challenge
here.
yeah
I wanted to go, you know, extreme. I mean, my thinking on this was my kids are both wearing nice vibrant colors, you know, that's actually a nice blue and whatever sweatshirt he had that, by the way, he lost it.
Okay.
I best not get into that. It's not someone as kindergarten just took it. Come on now. Come on, guys, it's his hook. It says Sam right on the hook,
right?
Okay. And I know for a fact there's only one kid named Sam in the kindergarten, just him. Okay. That's him.
Yeah, just him.
So it wasn't an accident. So I have to go down there today and I guess kick some ass. I don't know. anyway, so he had that on it, and my daughter had her bright pink bright pink Sopranos tracksuit on.
Okay.
That grandma bought her a long time ago. And so I thought, oh boy, what a great opportunity to snap it. And we had a nice blue sky. I too will throw the polarizer on, use the 50, and try to get them looking into the sun. This is the morning sun on the way to kindergarten, on the way to losing that sweatshirt. And so I picked a spot.
Well, I was going to say, at least you captured one last photo of the sweatshirt.
Yeah, no, this will be the missing poster. So, worked out.
Not the child. Yeah, the sweatshirt.
No, I'll cross him out and put the sweatshirt. Come on. I mean, he's missing too, but let's get that sweatshirt back. Come on. Yeah. So just found some blue sky and fired away. Now, my daughter especially, did not like looking into the sun, the direction of the sun. Very, very difficult for her.
Yeah.
So that's why she's squinting like that. But other than that, I cranked up the vibrance just to really make a point in Lightroom.
Gotcha.
So I don't really shoot like this in everyday life.
Right.
I don't find this. And like the skin tones seem a little bit kind of fake to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it looks almost lit like that. That's the color.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though we clearly see that it isn't lit, it still kind of has that, yeah, something here doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I do like this general theme, style-ish. Not the style, but along these lines, like if you go halfway down this road, you'll get great results.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is too much. So, just kind of a throwaway.
All right.
Throw it away. Gone.
They can't all be keepers. I, however, am going to get my bird picture blown up in a poster.
Yeah, no, I already did. I already stole it. Speaking of that, I spoke briefly with our friend Don Komoreczka.
Okay.
Via email. When I say speak, I just meant communicated.
Okay.
Because I don't know about you, but around Canada Day, I mean, everybody posts Happy Canada Day and all these kinds of pictures, but I saw a number of different posts of, like, Happy Canada Day over top of his Maple Leaf flag photo.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see anything.
Oh.
You saw this on Facebook, or?
Yeah, Facebook would show up. People would just go, hey, Happy Canada Day, and then, like, some stolen version of Don's photo.
Well, like, you mean they screen capped it or someone else, like, just ripped it off and did a similar photo of their own?
Oh, no. It's like a stolen one. It's Don's.
It's his photo. Yeah.
I even went and checked the leaves. And there's no way they could nail it like that, right? And, you know, but, and so I sent Don a message saying, hey, you know, he says, yeah, it's every year he sends out a post and stuff because he sees it show up all over the place.
Right. Like
people are just taking it, writing their own stuff, text on it, and sending it out. He says people are even making mugs and T-shirts.
Really?
And selling them. Like there's companies who have taken this, just grabbed the image, and are just selling stuff online. And he can't stop all of it. I mean, it's not possible.
Yeah.
So I thought, wow, that's kind of terrible. I mean.
Yeah, that sucks.
Especially considering it's such a, like, if you go ahead and do like you were asking, and recreate that photo, well, I take that sort of as a, you know, personal pride. Like,
yeah.
Like, okay, good for you. Thanks. You know, I appreciate that you like my picture that much that you're going to go ahead and copy it. But that's not what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just out and out stealing.
Yeah, that sucks. But I guess, I mean, that's the risk of putting your stuff just out there on the internet. You got to know that that's a possibility, too.
I suppose.
Not that it's right, but it's still, I mean, it that is a possibility.
It is.
You see, you know, Amber had that, obviously, that whole thing happened with her pictures and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, you post them up there, and there are criminals out there that they can steal whatever, including images off of websites. Not difficult to do.
So I should take down that photo of my credit card?
Yeah, you should. Well, I'm pretty sure that your Vibrance picture is gonna be on a Gap commercial tomorrow or something.
No question. More likely Old Navy, because it's not Gap probably, material.
It's not Gap worthy.
It's not white background. so the color one, that's definitely Old Navy.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll be in there. No question. I understand. I knew the risk when I took that photo. So this week, the topic for this week's show is we're going to meet Chris Laxamana. I sat down at Goodwood last week and did a one-on-one. Now, part of what we said before, you know, like weeks ago, was that, you know, we're going to try to include more interviews in our show.
Okay.
And mostly because Adam's lazy.
Mm-hmm.
No, but also, it doesn't always have to be specifically about photography. Like I have found that you learn a lot from other walks of life that you can apply to the photography world. Now, Chris ties in with photography because he takes a lot of the social media pictures for the Corolla crew. And okay. So he has a little Olympus Micro Four Thirds camera that he travels with, and it looks great. Looks like a great camera to travel with. Very small, compact. Seems to have great battery life, and so just in general, just, you know, like no lens to change. Just got a little zoom lens, and so he gets great results. And he actually snapped a couple photos of me while I was working too. So, but he generally goes around and. And he's responsible, but he said to me, he's like, you know, hey, I actually want to get good at this. I mean, he knows how to point and shoot, but he wants to get good at taking pictures.
Okay.
And so, because he takes an awful lot of them, and in fact, one of his, not even his job, he just thought ahead. On the last day, he knew that, you know, Adam Carolla was going to talk about a bunch of different cars that were at the event. He knew he would talk about them on his show. So but he didn't know which cars they were. So he basically ran around and photographed all 150 cars that were in the event.
Like, really?
He ran around the paddock. It took him a couple hours to snap each one. And because he's not a car nut, behind each car would have like a big sign about what car it was.
Okay.
You know, so he would shoot the car and then the sign, the car and the sign for all 150 some odd things, just so that he had them cataloged. Yeah. So that's, and then also he takes a lot of the, you know, like the candid photo stuff. But like I said, he wanted to get better, and I said, well, how about you come on the show and we'll meet producer Chris. We've talked to producer Gary already in the past. But without further ado, here is producer Chris Laxamana.
All right, we're going. We're rolling.
All right.
So I have to be. I don't do introductions.
Really?
Like, no. I would do. I will have done it already on the show, but for right now, we've already started.
This is it.
Yeah. No, we're on.
You're doing great.
No, it's my show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That sounded bad. Come on. So I'm sitting here. We're sitting here in Chichester, sitting here with Chris Laxamana. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on your show, Alan.
Glad to have you. First of all, for people who don't know you, which, come on, my listeners, they all know who you are.
They do.
Who are you?
Why should I even bother? No, I am Chris Laxamana, producer at Corolla Digital Network, the Corolla podcast, the mm-hmm. CarCast. I host Resume. I play music. Sometimes,
nope.
Yeah,
a lot of good stuff. Now, so we're here at the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
This is the coolest festival ever. I'm not kidding. It's so fun. I am just honored to even be here.
As am I. No, it's a great time. I was fortunate enough to be here last year for the Historics.
Yeah,
and then came, and you weren't there last year.
I wish I was. It looks super fun.
It was a good time, but yeah. You're here this year.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, besides what you just told us. What is it that you do at Corolla Digital?
Let's see. So I'm responsible for, one, a lot of the sound, the engineering I am in charge of. A lot of like the mobile recording and in-studio recording. I also do a lot of Adam's web content.
Mm-hmm.
Produce videos, take photos, which is, I guess, one of the reasons I'm, you know, you and I have a weird connection. Good one. And I also I post his shows on iTunes and make sure it gets into people's ears.
So all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So how did you come to find yourself working at Corolla Digital?
I was a sound guy. I used to do sound. I was in music, doing music my whole life. I used to record bands. I used to go to live. I would like work live events and.
We're talking about you, Nate.
Okay, so I did. I broke the golden Corolla rule, which.
Okay, I didn't guess you were doing a podcast. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Okay, what's the golden rule?
The golden rule is this is the golden rule, and it is. I'm talking to Nate Adams here, producer for a lot of the Corolla movies. The golden rule is, if you see a bathroom door that's closed. You knock because somebody's in there. Now, the rule is if you leave a bathroom, you never close the door because you just because people will always assume someone's in there. So you don't even really in this system you don't even need a lock on your door because if the door's closed, you don't go in. If the door's open, you go in. That's it. That's all
Wait,
it is.
Chris, whose hard and fast rules are these?
That's Adam Carolla's rule. Rules, and I've learned the hard way many times. I learned tonight, and I'm super embarrassed because I'd never do that. But today I'm a little toasty. And
so what we're getting at is some rules are broken, Nate. What happened?
Well, Chris, I was
the lights were off.
Doing a number two.
All right. Well, this is going to get really interesting really fast.
And Chris busted in on me while I was playing my favorite game of Scramble. Which is an internet.
By the way, you did
game.
The second best word. I saw a better word that you could have played.
Oh, okay. And Chris immediately said, "The classic words, I didn't see anything."
Okay. So, Nate, we're going to have you on another show, and you can explain your whole side of this story. We'll talk about all that kind of stuff another time. Hey, have a good night.
Sorry, Nate. All right. Don't tell Adam. No, don't, please.
Oh, he listens to the show.
I really can't. I cannot.
Yeah.
Adam.
Right.
Finding out.
It's not the fear. It's just I'm trying to avoid repetition.
Adam.
I understand the rules.
Adam actually came up for a better name for my show, which like in about half a second, which sort of bummed me out a little bit. I'll have him explain it one time. But yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty funny.
He's pretty creative.
So anyway, that was Nate. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, anyway, so
you used to record bands. You're an audio guy. Well, now, what does an audio besides recording bands? What does an audio guy do?
It really is just learning how to work a mixing board and learning the different microphones. Different
how
techniques.
Does one learn that?
Experience and just practice.
You didn't go to school?
I didn't go to school for it, but to be honest, I learned the most just by doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
That reminds me of my film school. Now, when I went to film school, I think I mentioned on the show many times, is I went to film school like 16-something-odd years ago when it was great to learn, but the deal was is the equipment wasn't readily accessible as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So having like an Avid like in your house, you were going to drop $20,000 on a terrible, like a really low-end Avid, and no one was doing that.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to access the equipment, you had to go to a film school. And so for I don't know how it was for audio recording or mixing and whatever.
I really liked going to audio school. I mean, you definitely do learn a lot. It's just nothing beats hands-on experience.
Right.
In fact, I actually went to film school.
Okay.
I remember as an English major, and then one day I'm really complaining because I had to read a like 50-page Alexander Pope poem, just one poem.
The Rape of the Lock.
I think it was that actually. Right. Yeah, and. And I was just complaining about how I really didn't want to do that tonight because I don't know, I must have something going on. And my friend said, oh, that's cool. I have to watch Star Wars. And I asked, why is that your homework? And he said, oh, I'm a film major. So smash cut, pardon the pun, but to the next day I'm in my counselor's office saying, I need to be a film major. So I go and it's not just because I want to watch Star Wars. I was actually already interning at Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
But... the entertainment industry always just interested me more. And so I would go to film class there, and I hated it. I absolutely hated
it. You hated film class?
Yeah. I didn't like... Look, I mean, Citizen Kane, sure.
No, it's not a good movie. I did the same thing. We had to watch it in film school. Oh, it's the best movie. It's not the best movie ever made.
It wasn't even. We didn't watch it. We had to worship it.
No, I wouldn't. I refused.
Yeah,
I was that guy. I'm fully on board with you, Chris. It was told to me that it's the best. It's the greatest movie ever made. I get it. Some stuff looked awesome. It was ahead of its time. Yeah. That
lots
much I get.
Of, lots of long takes.
The deep focus. Yeah. I hear about that. The movie itself. I've only ever seen it once. I'll never see it a second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What is the best movie ever made?
What is the best movie ever made? Yeah. Oh, I can't even answer that.
Yes, you can. There's a very clear answer.
What is it?
Well, there's one of two. If you say either one of them...
it's not Youngblood, is it?
It's Youngblood. The answer is Youngblood. Well, two nights ago, we sat here in Chichester, and we watched Youngblood together all as a group.
Sure.
Because it's a classic.
Yeah.
No, the best movie ever made is either The Godfather,
okay,
or Goodfellas. Great.
Yeah,
you can say either.
You're right in both,
but not it's not Citizen Kane. Rosebud.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I go to there and I'm about to pull my hair out in these classes. I mean, I already knew how to edit film just because I grew up skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And editing video and making skate videos was part of the culture. It was part of skateboarding.
What did you shoot them on?
Anything.
For example?
VHS.
Uh-huh.
DV, like cams. Just anything you get your hands on that you could record. And like my first skate videos, I would edit them on two VCRs.
Really?
Yeah.
I grew up doing that. Yeah. That's the thing is I tell everybody who looks for advice and says, hey, I want to get better at using, say, Final Cut Pro or Avid. I say, if you want to be good at editing, you have to edit VCR to VCR. It's your basic three-point editing. You'll get good at that.
Yeah.
Learn to drive a stick shift, then drive a race car.
There you go.
Okay. So you did VCR to VCR.
VCR to VCR. And then I thought, I should go to a class. So what I did was I was in high school, but I registered for college classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into I took an editing class and I edited my skate movies in an editing class where we used iMovie.
Okay.
Yeah. So I learned iMovie next. And but what skate videos do with editing is, and I still think this today, is skate videos are the best editing that you can see, just because they're very creative and it's everything, the music, the feel, the timing, everything, mm-hmm. and it really just teaches you all that. So I edited skate videos, and because you have to make them go to the music, like when the trick would land on the ground, that was when the cymbal crash of the song would happen. Like it was like things like that, and it just actually just enhanced everything. And order was very important. You don't want to you got to order the tricks in the right order. You want to open obviously with something good. Yeah, it really is. The order of tricks is very important, and so it's things like that. So I took editing, and when I went to college for that, it was as if I went back in time, I don't know, 8 years, to where we had some really old version of Final Cut Pro, which, I mean, that goes back to your theory of just learning on VCR, but it was just really dated systems for doing things. And then we also had to, like, do TV, like live TV things, scripts. Like, I remember one project we had to do, we had to write a script and then record it. It was just a two-person script. It was a two-shot and over the shoulder, two, and then over the shoulders, and you would edit them to make it look like two people having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have microphones, so, and you can only record like in the middle of the quad, because for some reason, even in my school, you needed permits to record anywhere inside.
Really?
Yeah, so it was terrible. Like, there was just no way to put out a good product, and it was really tough. So I had to, like, come up with different ways to kind of cheat that. Like, I own these microphones that, you know, like we're using now, because I use them for music. So I would make all of my projects news broadcasts, because then you would at least have a microphone and it was a prop, but it would actually be functional and it would work.
So you can get practical sound in the shot.
Yeah. So it's like tricks like that. But at the same time, when you're in college in America, you have to take can I cuss on this?
Go ahead.
Okay. You have to take classes. Like, I'd take Spanish, I'd take sex ed, I'd take all these other classes. And I remember I started working on commercials. I worked on a White Stripes commercial, and then I was asked to work on a Black Keys commercial, like a short music video, and I couldn't do it. and because I had a sex ed test.
Okay.
And I had to pass that class to graduate. So I'm sitting in sex ed doing a test while my friends are filming a Black Keys video and said, all right, well, you know what? We like having you. I basically did assistant camera. I just get lenses for whatever lens they asked for, and I would slate. And they said, hey, you know what? We're going to New York, and we're going to film a Black Keys full music video. It's the one, it's called, for that song, Tighten Up, where the little kids are singing the song. It's really good. It actually won a VMA, I think. And they asked me to do it, and I had a Spanish test that week, so I can't go. So they're recording
Tell me you blew it off and went.
I didn't.
Oh, no.
I couldn't. I wanted to graduate. I thought.
I wish you knew me then. I would have told you to forget graduating.
You know, I wish. Yeah. Well, like that was something I had to find on my own, because the whole time I was taking the Spanish test, I thought, this is getting me nowhere. I'm turning down.
How's really, your Spanish?
It's terrible. I don't remember a word. I don't know what you're saying. What language are you speaking? And I remember just sitting in class thinking, what am I doing?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm missing out on a lot of opportunities because I think I need a degree for all this. And
you thought you did?
Yeah.
Folks? Folks, maybe?
Yeah, parents. A little bit of parents, but it was me too. I just didn't know what was out there. At the same time, I was interning at Adam Carolla.
Okay.
The reason I got that job was because I was a sound guy. They needed a sound guy, and I was known around town as a sound guy.
And they found you?
Yeah, well, one of Adam's older, one of his interns back then also knew me, and he asked, hey, we need a sound guy. Do you mind checking it out? And so I came in one day thinking, all right, I'll check out this little podcast you have. I didn't know Adam. I didn't know what a podcast was, but okay. I thought I just wanted to help.
This was in the early days of the show.
Yeah. This is like the show's been going on for about a year.
Okay.
And they needed a real sound guy, so I went, and I loved it. And so I started picking
Why did you love it?
You know, I never listened to talk radio that much. I was only listening to music. So it was just like something new. It was enlightening. A lot of the things Adam said, I've never heard people say things like that before. And in that kind of way, with that kind of just thoughtfulness behind his words. And so, I don't know, it was just so different, but I was agreeing with a lot of it. So I decided to stick around. And I was just having a blast the whole time. It was just something new, something hilarious. The way I think of Adam is everything with me is like music is if speaking were music, I'm watching Miles Davis play in the studio every day. Like the guy's coming up with lines that I've never seen anybody come up with in that kind of speed, with that kind of quickness, and accuracy and precision. It's something like I've never seen before. Even today, it's just you're watching a brain work in just a magnificent way. So I stuck around because I just looked at it. There were a lot of opportunities opening up for me. I started producing other shows, engineering other shows, and what really had me leave school, because what I was doing, I was interning at Adams for free during the day, and then I'd be a waiter at night. And then I'd go to school even earlier in the day. So
right.
It was, and that was 7 days a week. I never had free time. And so I started doing Larry Miller's show. He's a comedian, really great guy. And I engineered a show. And the thing about college class, you either have a class Monday, Wednesday, or Tuesday, Thursday. And in order to graduate, I had to pick up a Tuesday, Thursday class, which I used to only go Monday, Wednesdays. And Larry said, hey, so I tell Larry, hey, I can't work in your show anymore. I got to take a semester on Tuesday, Thursdays. And he moves the whole show, the whole recording, because he wanted me around.
Wow.
Yeah. So he just moves the entire schedule of the show to, oh, we're recording Tuesday, Thursday now, because I want Chris to still be here. And it was just really sweet, really nice. And then, you know, I'm just thinking, why am I here learning how to, learning all this like Spanish and sex ed, which that's great stuff.
If that was one class, I think I would take it.
Spanish sex ed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That they should have combined the two.
No question.
No, I have a lot of gripes with college just because, a lot. And just like a lot of the professors I went with just didn't seem to care.
Okay.
And it bummed me out. So, I really gave it a shot and it failed me. So I ended up just saying, you know what? I'm going to take a year off of college, see what happens to me with this Corolla thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that year, I get hired and slowly moving my way up to full-time producer.
Which is where you're at now?
Yeah.
Okay, and how many shows do you produce?
Oh, God. Let's see. Adam Carolla Show, Adam and Dr. Drew Show, CarCast, the Dr. Drew Podcast, Joe Coy Show, the Coy Pond, and then Resume, probably like seven or eight
podcasts.
Yeah.
Which wasn't even a thing 10 years ago.
No, I mean, there's no way I could have prepared myself for something like this. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't mean to just ramble on about me this whole time.
Well, you're on the show because it's you.
Oh, okay.
So that's what we're here to talk about. People, my listeners, they know who I am. So it's okay. We're here to talk about you.
Well,
but part of your job is you take a lot of photos.
Yeah, I've taken it upon myself. We used to, for every podcast, we used to have to take a photo of Adam and the guest.
Mm-hmm.
Like
a cover, like an album cover.
Yeah, it's like an album cover that we put on the cover of the website. So if you go to adamcarolla.com, you would see Adam and a guest. And what we used to use was this little, I think it was just like a Canon point and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I know it might have even been a Sony, but I forget what it was. But it was just a little point shoot that just took awful photos.
I remember.
Yeah, so
I've seen them.
What I did was I begged the guys, because we're working on all those videos, like the White Stripes thing. Like they would shoot that with I think they shot that with a 70.
Really?
Yeah. Is that I'm get or maybe it was it's a 5D.
Either way, no, it could be either one.
Okay,
either one's probably right.
But we would shoot commercial. They would start shooting commercials. That was when everybody started using DSLRs for video.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really get to see just how great these cameras work. We would shoot everything with DSLRs instead of actual cameras.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are actual cameras, but so I begged the guys at work, like, "Hey, we need to get DSLRs, a DSLR. This is ridiculous for a professional podcast." And I really think it's going to improve the look of the website and the look of just anything that, you know, we take photos of. Because Adam is actually a very visual guy. He recalls a lot of photos on his show. He does a lot of things with photos. So I really wanted to just kind of step up the game. It always interested me. And Adam also races a lot. He drives in a lot of vintage race cars.
Which is why we're here.
Yeah, which is why, you and I are even sitting here talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just an investment that I begged for about a year until they finally let me get the company a DSLR, which I didn't even get them like a gray one. I got a T3i.
Right.
Which was good because the only reason I got it was because it had the same sensor as like it didn't have the same sensor, but it had the same video capabilities as like the 5D.
Roughly, yeah.
Sure. Like to where it was... It was still good enough to record any, like video stuff if we needed it. Because what we were using before that was also just like a handheld camera.
Sure.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. So, and we were doing videos with Adam with CarCast and things. And I just, look, my job eventually became to, how can I just make us look good?
Well, that's how it kind of goes now. I mean, you morph from producer into, photographer, social media guy, everything, because of the way social media has gone, everything is so visual and so tied together that not only do you have to take good photos, you have to get them out there to as many people as you can immediately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what's that. We've talked a little bit about taking pictures.
I look at you as just, I don't want to say cheat sheet because that's not right. But in a way, it's just, I'm trying to learn all of your tricks, but not as tricks. I actually want to learn why they work and just really just improve my game.
Well, and Adam and I, the Schwartz, we're happy to share, and that's what we're going to do. And so we talked a little bit about some technique, and we'll go over some more. But what is it that you really want to learn? Like, what is it that you want to take away from, what are the cheats you want to know?
All right. So remember when you and I walked into Goodwood and we were in the media center, you pointed at a photo and you said that picture, 85mm lens.
Yeah, the F1 car is at the start line. Yeah.
That picture spoke to me.
But like, a 600mm lens, I think it was.
Excuse me. Yeah. So when I saw that photo, I looked at that photo and I thought, that's a great photo.
Yeah.
It was just a great looking shot. Compositionally.
No, I didn't take that one. If you're listening at home, no. that was some, I don't know who took it, but it's blown up very, very large on the wall in the media center at the Goodwood Racetrack. I don't remember if I saw it last year or not. I think the media center was different last year, but yeah, right away I recognized, I'm not 100% sure. If I had to guess, it was taken with a full frame camera and a 600mm lens. It was just zoomed in that far.
And just, there's such a big difference. Like, I mean, the time we're living in, it's pictures of everything, Instagram, Facebook, you know, any internet, like, it's all picture-based now. So I see hundreds of photos a day, maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
And they all look, I mean, usually it's just like phone, selfie, things like that. But then you look at a really great quality photo that looks like there was thought, you know, put into it, effort put into it,
mm-hmm.
which is, I mean, the bottom line is anything that shows effort is going to really just pull me. I'm attracted to effort. I'm attracted mm-hmm. to thought. And, when I see photos that show that, I'm pulled towards it. And I think, and this is any gamut. If I see a good painting, if I hear a good song, all I think in my head is, how did they do that? And can I do that?
The answer is yes, you can. Here's the kind of the sad truth is that if you can play music, which I know you can take that picture. If you can take that picture, like I can't play music. It's not going to happen. That's kind of the I've resigned myself to that fact. So I'll teach you how to take pictures. You'll never teach me how to play guitar.
I don't know. You sound like you might have a good singing voice, though. We'll
I highly doubt that. So moving on. So moving forward, what is it that you want to learn? You want to learn to take better pictures, post production. What kind of stuff are you looking to do?
A little bit of everything. Like, let's see. So composition.
Where's the weak part of your game? Is what I'm asking you.
You actually saw it earlier. It's workflow.
Mm-hmm.
It's intimidating to me because I'll go out and, you know, like today or this over the weekend, I switched from RAW to JPEG because I just didn't – like I have to post a bunch of pictures for the CarCast Facebook after, and I just thought, you know, immediacy is and timeliness is also very big with all of that and you have to find a balance between that and quality.
Mm-hmm.
And – for some reason, I just put immediacy and timeliness a little bit ahead of it because we're in the weekend, so people are looking for it towards the weekend.
Well, you have like thousands of fans around the world who know Adam and you and the crew are at this event,
mm-hmm.
and they want updates as they happen.
That's what I'm saying. So
you have that priority.
Yeah, and taking a bunch of raw photos. And to me, this is what I'm afraid of: is I take, I don't know, 500 raw photos
mm-hmm.
Today, and I have to organize them, sort through them, and then go through and edit each one,
mm-hmm.
or you know, things like that. And it just it's intimidating.
Sure,
like that's just gonna take forever. And then post it and write comments for each one and give them, you know, and show everybody. Like it just, I know as I know earlier I said, oh yeah, I want effort, but I do want to put in the effort, but at the same time, I don't want to kill myself.
Right, but see, the effort comes in, first of all, not taking 500 photos. That's what, if you get really good at it, you'll take, instead of 500, you'll take 60 photos. And then you will get them right in camera, and so that you'll still take them in RAW, but you'll be able to sort through them very quickly, pick out the ones you want, and publish the 8 that you like that, with practice.
Yeah.
It takes practice. I mean, if you look through all my old libraries, you'd see that I have thousands and thousands of photos of the same thing, and they're terrible. And they're all – and every one of those photos is terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I had to make those mistakes, and I had to be bad at organizing to get good at organizing.
Right.
You know, and so now I'm at the point now where for the most part, I never get more than 2, maybe 3 days without deleting all my photos. Like not all my, like all the ones I don't keep. Like I'll go through and say out of every 10 I shoot, I'll keep one and those other 9 go.
Right.
They're gone forever. I don't keep them anywhere. And I try not to let that get past 2 or 3 days because otherwise you don't get on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have photos that you haven't looked at, you know, from 2 years ago.
It just, yeah, because it all, and you're right, I should do that because it's just going to stack up and then it becomes a daunting task after I'm, you know, weeks in.
So if the Mona Lisa is sitting in a museum with 16,000 other not quite Mona Lisas, it's no longer the Mona Lisa. It's just it's at the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark when the Ark of the Covenant's put in there in the with all the other boxes. It's just hidden a bunch of other boxes, and you don't want to do that.
No.
So we're going to avoid that, and so we'll talk again, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to get you on the right path.
Yeah.
And that's the plan.
Yeah.
Move forward.
Look. Yeah. Just workflow.
Great.
I need help.
Now it's time to get some sleep because we got to get up early tomorrow for the last day of Goodwood. Tomorrow, Adam's last race, and go out and get a lot of good footage and hopefully some good photos of what's been a great experience.
Should I shoot in RAW tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
I mean, you have the card space.
I do have the card space.
Oh, then no question. Then we'll figure out how to streamline that process.
Okay.
In post. So, Chris, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
And where can people find more about you?
Just go to adamcarolla.com, chrisloxamana.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, everything.
We're going to post those links. I mean,
just Google it.
Check out Chris's show. It's called Resume.
Yeah.
What is, real quick for my listeners, what is Resume?
So what I do is something that's always interested me is hearing the weird jobs that my friends have or really successful people have had and just the weird skill sets and unusual. When I say weird, it doesn't really have to be weird, just things you didn't know people did growing up. And kind of the path is something I'm very interested in and how someone got somewhere. And career-wise, it was just something that's always caught my attention. So, for instance, when, let's say, like we're talking about Adam Carolla. He used to work at McDonald's. His first job was at McDonald's. He tried to work at Taco Bell. They didn't want to have him.
Right.
He used to be a carpenter and dug ditches before he was even, you know, the comedian that you would hear on the radio and on TV. And, you know, just things like that, that a lot of people don't really know that, you know, Adam Carolla is actually a master carpenter and he can build anything you want. You know, and Dr. Drew was a lifeguard he picked up trash in his neighborhood. He was like a garbage man of his neighborhood.
Okay.
And things like that. So it's just, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of funny to just have notable people on my show and interesting people and just go over their resume.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I started doing it and I'm just having a blast doing it. And I've had really cool people on just with really interesting careers. And it's not even all like famous people. I do have famous people on the show, but at the same time, I also have just anybody who I find interesting. I've had business owners. I've had I had a bank robber on one time. That was really great, and he would, you know, teach me how he robbed banks. I've had beer brewers, things like that. Just anybody who really just following their passion or just at any stage of their life, how did they get there? And you know, if you want to go that path or not, at least you know what happens if you do.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll post a link to that on our site.
Yeah, season 2's coming up. I already have I interviewed a porn star. I had one of the guys from the Jersey Shore on. I had a DJ from North Korea. Like, yeah, so it's coming out really soon. When does this air?
Soon?
Yeah. Well,
2 weeks?
Okay, yeah. Look for Resume season 2. Subscribe. It's fun.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for coming out, and we'll see you tomorrow. At Goodwood.
I'm gonna have some fun, man. This is the, as I said, greatest festival ever. And yeah, and no joke, Alan, I really appreciate you teaching me everything. I know I'm a noob at this, but I'm willing to learn.
Pleasure's all mine.
All right.
And we're back.
Yes.
Do you feel like you know him?
Yeah, like we've been hanging out for years.
Chris, I will say this about Chris. You've never met a nicer person in your life. No
have
joke.
Have you met me?
Yeah. No, I'm including you in this. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Obviously excluding myself.
Okay.
No, like the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. Hands down.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. No. There's no way.
I met Mr. Rogers once and still.
Still in front of Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's Mr. Rogers he looks terrible compared to. Now it sounds like I'm being excessive, but in all honesty, nicest guy in the world. There's okay. that. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right.
So I was glad to work with him. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
So check out his shows. We gave out his the names of his shows and where to find him.
So in like a power rankings of nicest.
Yeah.
Like, am I in the top 10?
In the world?
Well, just in terms of people you've met.
Oh, people I've met. Yeah. Oh, still no. Top 10?
Yeah, no?
Like people I've met or people I'm friends with?
Well, you don't have 10 friends.
I was going to say, you're automatically in the top 4. That's
your kids don't count either.
Okay, you're in the top 2. then okay, good for you. Okay. Yay. We call that a Pyrrhic victory. Do they have a Pyrrhic defeat? That's what I'm going to find out.
Maybe. Maybe.
That's a Pyrrhic defeat, buddy. Oh, wow, that was verbose.
So, I mean, to be fair, I haven't listened to the interview yet, so it's hard for me to make a judgment call on Chris, but seems like a nice guy. I mean, I'm a regular listener of the Corolla show, and I mean, from the little bits and pieces that I can cobble together of his background, interludes that he's a regular voice on the Corolla show, but just in bits and pieces, I'd say yeah, seems like a nice guy. So I'll take your word for it on this.
Yes, what you hear is for real. There's no act there.
Okay,
that's what I'm telling you. So
all right,
check out his shows. You'll find a link on our website to where you can find him.
And what was the name? I know the name, but I'll just repeat it one more time. What was the name of the podcast?
His podcast, he does one called Water Cooler.
Okay, and that's on the Corolla network, right?
It is.
Okay.
Okay. Photo challenge for next week.
I'm hoping this time you have one.
I don't have one, but I'm assuming it's gonna be water involved.
Something at the lake.
Yeah, I'll lob it in your. I took the car one last week, and that was a softball one for me. So let's do that for you this week. So a softball.
No.
Challenge is softball.
The lake?
Sure. Well, it's not gonna be the lake. It can't be the lake.
Apparently the forecast for us is just dreadful this weekend.
Oh,
so
no.
I might not get anything. So
well, it'll be
I might get the Yahtzee, the indoors playing cards and board games. So
the kerfuffle. Or kniffle.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
So just a heads up that way.
Okay. Well, we'll do water. Okay. Well, I'll make it ubiquitous enough. I don't even know what that word means.
Yeah.
Why did I even say it?
But you're going to be at the swimming pool every day for the next month, so I'm pretty sure that we're actually lobbing the softball in your court.
Okay. I'm sit back and I'm all ears. What we doing?
Let's do vibrant.
Whoa, let's redo that one. That would be awesome. I'm glad you thought of it.
Let's do ducks.
We have ducks here. We have ducks at the pond. I can't imagine an interesting photo I can take of a duck.
You don't know until you try.
No, I've tried. I've taken pictures of ducks before because my kids like to feed the ducks, which I don't even think you're supposed to do.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't think you're supposed to feed ducks from what I understand. But regardless, I've tried to take pictures of ducks in the past. You can't do it. You can't do something that's worth talking about, even on our dinky little podcast here.
Right.
So no okay. Ducks.
Let's go back to the lake.
I'm not doing the lake either. I don't live by a lake.
Okay, water.
Unless I'm friends with Veronica Lake, it's fun not in the. Happen.
How about water fun? Let's make it fun.
That's bold, considering your weather forecast.
I know, but I'll make them. I'll force my kids to go out and splash around for 5 minutes. Wow. Get my camera soaking wet.
That does sound fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. Water fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like
it might be in the sink. It might be in the sink.
Yeah. It sounds like an ad on Craigslist, though.
Yeah.
So, All right. Not that kind. Awesome. Done. Where can people find your stuff, Adam?
AdamSchwartz.ca and possibly Facebook, Two Hosers Facebook site.
All right, find my
and
stuff.
And your stuff. Oh, yeah, your stuff. I was leading in.
You don't always do it, though.
I know. I'm a wild card.
You can find my stuff at alnatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and photos and everything that we just talked about. That's it, Adam. Until next... I was on a roll there, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it, Adam. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're done. Yeah. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.